We are joined now on the WBAL Newsline by Dr. Michael Greenberger, the director of the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Good morning, Dr. Greenberger.
Good morning.
We spoke to you earlier this week when this was still in its early stages. From a Homeland Security point of view, how does the fact that these two men have Chechenian roots change the whole picture that we've been trying to draw day by day this week?
Well, you know, the question that's been asked almost from the time the bombs went off on Monday is this domestic terrorism or is this international terrorism? Because obviously, in terms of planning for the future and providing security, that's an important question to answer. And the irony here is that, of course, in the morning you heard these were Chechen nationals, and the first report is they'd been here for a year. We're now hearing that they came here as asylum refugees when they were very young. Their uncle, it turns out, lives in Montgomery County, and he's giving all these reports on their background. So I don't know how large a role Chechnya plays in all this.
So we still may not know if it's domestic or international terrorism, because they may be acting as people who grew up here in the United States.
I agree completely. Of course, the situation is very fluid. It's almost impossible to draw conclusions. But if the latest information is correct, these were people who were well integrated into United States life, as evidenced by the way they conducted themselves at the finish line from the CCTV. I think in the end, this is going to be domestic terrorism, and these are people who were very smart, very talented, were in some sense integrated into normal youth culture in the United States. In another sense, they obviously became very, very alienated.
Domestic terrorism, though, but if I can interrupt for a second.
It's absolutely terrorism.
Right. But, I mean, I guess it all depends on what do we define as domestic terrorism? I mean, is domestic terrorism somebody who was just from the United States as an American citizen, or is it a motive behind it? And by that, I mean, is the motive, you know, something against the government or just, you know, crazy and they just want to kill people like we see some of these shooters, or is it more related to religion? I mean, because those are all the things of what you consider to be domestic terrorism versus international terrorism, I guess.
As a legal matter, there is a definition of terrorism, and a Nobel Laureate Prize winner could be, if hypothetically a Nobel Laureate Prize winner had done what was done on Monday, they would have committed a terrorist act.
Okay.
Well, the reason it's important, motive is somewhat important because if you're trying to influence policy by putting people in fear, that adds to the legal definition. But the motive is important for us to understand how do we stop this from happening again. If these people were trained in Chechnya, and as was first thought, that makes it a very international thing. We've got people coming in the country who are trained as terrorists. It looks now as if these were alienated youths who really, for all intents and purposes, were raised in the United States, got angry with the government, and this is their response. So I think this is so fluid, it's hard to draw conclusions, but I think from what we're hearing now, this could have been any alienated young person who was angry at the government or angry about the way he was being treated. I think the fact that they're from Chechnya is going to turn out to be quite irrelevant.
An interesting possibility, an interesting parallel. The uncle, the one from Montgomery County, referred to the older one, Tamerlan, as a loser, and he wasn't referring to this incident. He said, you know, the guy went to school and then didn't do much, apparently. He was 26 years old and had kind of gone through life and wasn't accomplishing a whole lot.
Yeah.
And I draw the parallels to this exact date, April 19th, back in 1995, when the Oklahoma City Federal Building was attacked by a man named Timothy McVeigh, who had a similar profile if you take out the Chechenian part.
Absolutely correct. That's a very good analogy. And Timothy McVeigh, of course, was a full-bred United States citizen who served in the United States military. So the background here is largely irrelevant. It's the conduct that's been done. I think using the word loser, this My suspicion is this was a person who was very alienated. The fact that he came from Chechnya 10 years ago is largely irrelevant. When you look at the Virginia Tech shootings, mm-hmm. or you look at any of these recent shootings, the people obviously have gone off the trail of normality, but they can do a lot of damage.
Well, Brian drew the parallel earlier of the sniper shootings as well.
Absolutely.
We've got the older loser wandering through life who takes under his wing the younger, in this case, brother, but in the sniper case, it was John Malvo and John Muhammad and Lee Malvo,
yeah.
The same kind of dynamic between the two of them.
Absolutely. Now, these people, though, it appears, were of a really high intelligence level. I don't know what the latest information is, but there's some talk of one of them having been at MIT, which is a premier educational institution. It appears these people, unlike Malvo, for example, or even Timothy McVeigh, were very, very smart guys who had achieved, one of them had a wrestling scholarship. They'd achieved some success, but nevertheless, something happened, something snapped, at least in one of them, and that's what led to this. So this goes back to the whole issue over the Newtown shootings. It seems to be more of a mental health problem than it is anything else. But make no mistake about it, however these people did it, they got themselves trained, and I think their athleticism had a lot to, and their intelligence had a lot to do
but
with
can
it.
Can I interject
themselves to a very high level
for a second on the talk about the terrorism, and that is the 60,000-pound gorilla in the room, is that they're Chechen and that they're Muslim, they're Islam. Now, we don't know if that was the reasoning behind that right now, but that is a significant factor in this. I mean, as you related to terrorist acts in the United States, you bring up McVeigh. Well, that wasn't about that. Now, it could be many different reasons, like you said, but that would be a different kind of domestic terrorism than we're used to seeing when we bring up other people.
If these guys, as is first reported, had come here a year ago or 2 years ago, Chechnya is the major leagues of terrorist training.
Right.
And I would say, yes, it's very, very important. But obviously, as I said, you cannot say with Timothy McVeigh was not a Muslim. Many of the automatic weapon shootings, they were not Muslim.
Sure.
So the conduct here that's important is what happened. And what happened is that they used terror practices to cause problems. I think in the end, the fact that they're from Chechnya or that they're Muslim, obviously there are going to be people who will jump on that, and prejudices that have been formed will be aggravated. But the fact is here, we've had, as you pointed out, with Timothy McVeigh or Malvo, or, you know, in the Fort Hood shooting, we had a psychiatrist. So it's the conduct that's important, and the conduct here was clearly terrorist activity. It's important to know the motivation. I think they've been so far removed from Chechnya that that takes that off the board.
But we have seen people who have come over to the United States. We have seen people who were born here in the United States, not even Muslim, be radicalized in this country and want to attack the United States. The guy who tried to blow up an SUV in Times Square,
absolutely,
for example, would
and
be
you
one
know
of them as well.
There has been, for the last few years, our top counterterrorism people have said that our greatest danger are people who are here domestically oriented, who have become alienated, and that's where the real threat is. And I think this episode supports what a lot of people have been saying for the last 3 or 4 years in that regard. So I think that's exactly right. And it makes it harder, obviously, to identify. You know, if somebody had come from Chechnya on a student visa a year ago, you'd say, oh, you know, there's something wrong with our policies of letting people in the country. These guys got asylum. You know, they were children. They obviously hadn't formed any hard views. So it makes it much, much harder. When you have people walking around and they look like normal college students, that poses a greater danger to us. On the other hand, I've just got to say, and it's true in Baltimore City Police and Maryland State Troopers, and it's true in Boston, it's true in New York, our first responders have been very, very vigilant, and we've been blessed in not having one of these events from 9/11/2001 to last Monday. I think there will be a lot of lessons learned here about how, for example, to deal with marathons. For example, if you go to M&T Stadium, if those guys couldn't have walked in with those backpacks into M&T Stadium before a Ravens game, true here at FedEx Field, I heard Commissioner Kelly in New York City saying we've got a lot of lessons learned about how to deal with marathons. There have to be checkpoints. There have to be hardened areas. When we have the inauguration down on the mall, you just can't walk in onto the mall or any place else. Your bags are checked. It's true when you go to any major sporting event in the United States. If they had had a hardened checkpoint at the starting line and the finish line, these guys would have never gotten close. And they probably knew, because they've been in Boston, they probably have watched prior marathons and knew that you could just walk up to the finish line. So this kind of thing, we don't know what the motivation of it is, but there are techniques which can stop people from bringing backpacks filled with explosives into very sensitive areas. There's also been this theory, well, you can't cover 26 miles of a marathon. I think after this, we will be covering 26 miles of a marathon. Commissioner Kelly also said, and I think really Baltimore is to be credited in this regard, we have probably as many CCTV cameras around the city as any government institution. It was very controversial. People thought it was an invasion of privacy. CCTV is the biggest help we have to get people after they've done bad things.
Mm-hmm. To catching them, to not stopping them, but to catching them in the
yeah,
end.
And my view isn't to stopping them. Yeah. If the traditional sporting event technique had been used, or the technique we use when the governor is inaugurated in Annapolis, there are hardened areas. That's not to say the public can't come in, but you can't come in without having your purses, your backpacks, whatever, checked. These guys obviously knew that wasn't going to happen here. It must happen when there are large public gatherings of this kind. Now, that doesn't mean wouldn't have any way changed their alienation, but if a hardened entry point had been here, as we have on the mall, when the president is inaugurated, you just cannot walk onto the mall, this could have been stopped. Now, I am in no sense second-guessing Boston police, because New York police are the state-of-the-art counterterrorists, and they were shocked by the way this has happened. So lessons have been learned. I think we can protect the public in these kinds of events. We have the techniques to do it. And a bottom line here is, while they let this thing get through, I think the fusion of the city, state, and federal police has been extremely admirable here. And they've gone about it professionally. They didn't jump to conclusions that were embarrassing to them. They were patient, more patient than many wanted them to be.
Dr.
I have no doubt they will get the second person.